Welcome to another episode of Off Script. I am your co-host, Will.
And I am Ashley, and today we are talking about marketing plan and your touch point plan for clients.
So today we're going to touch on everything database.
Yep.
This is really like the bread and butter of our business, how we've kind of built a lot of our success in the systems are around communicating with our database. And right now is the best time you can start planning for next year to make sure you have a really good plan in place. So we intend to go through what we think would be a really good plan to start off of.
Okay.
So for us, I'll give some stats first, and then maybe we can go into like how this has helped you grow your personal business as well as what we're doing now.
Okay.
Because a lot of what we do with our shared services core team, what we coach to with our independent model, is really based off of how we've built the momentum of this whole brokerage, right? So about 50, I think year to date, we're at about 149 closed and pending. 54% of those are from Sphere referral, and past clients. So when we say it's our bread and butter, the majority of our business comes from database. And that's because we have a very systematic approach to how we communicate with them. For us, it started small, and we build every single year. We add one or two different things that we think are going to be beneficial for next year. And we've also went the opposite way of planning way too many and not hitting all of them. So how's that kind of been on your side of things? Obviously helping build the system that we have together, but also communicating with your clients individually.
Well, it's been a journey of getting where we are today with the amount of touch points that we do with our client. But in the beginning, it was a little bit chaotic and stressful at first, just because I didn't have a structure or a plan to anything that I was doing. So I would say I always like lifestyle marketed, if you will, and like talk to people, social media, all of that. But I didn't have a structure, a strategy to anything that I was doing. So it wasn't trackable.
Yeah, super relatable, right? For most agents, when you don't have time, or maybe you get busy with some deals, you're just flying by the seat of your pants sometimes. Like, who can I talk to and when?
Right. So I was doing business, but in a very chaotic way. And then when people would ask me like, what are you doing? I didn't have a way of clearly articulating that because I didn't really know. I just knew I was talking to people.
Yeah.
So this has really helped put like a game plan in place for the entire year. And then like Will said, we teach this to the rest of our agents on the team and provide a lot of these resources to them so that they can implement and execute it the same way that I do in my business. So I don't know if you want to like get into all of that.
I'll go over just like one more target for us. And then we'll go into like what we think would be good and some key points that we think are important to remember as you, you know, as you go through the year. But for us, I've always just coaching over the past 6 years or so. What I've realized is when you're doing, communicating with your database the right way, you should be able to turn that at about 10%. If you're not, there's three things: frequency, authenticity, or value are the three things I always think are the problem or why you're not turning that at 10%. Frequency being you're just not talking to them enough times throughout the year or touching base with them. Authenticity meaning you're copy and pasting other people's stuff and not making it about you, because your clients want to hear about you, not about generalized comments about the market.
Yeah.
It makes sense. And then value is the last one. If you have a bunch of first time home buyers in your database, it probably doesn't make sense to send them a bunch of $1 million properties. So you have to connect on value. So those are really important pieces of this whole thing. And then making sure that you, when you put a plan in place, you execute on it. So that year I said we had too many touches. I think we had 110 communication points.
Yeah, we had a very lofty goal.
We had a good plan, right? And so when you overextend yourself the way that we did, we only actually executed 37% of them. That year we looked at our total database number for the whole team. We turned it at 3.4%. So not 10%, nowhere close to 10%, but we did turn that database about the same exact amount of execution points that we had for our plan. So it was interesting that, you know, what we had thought was going to work didn't, and then we just dropped it and we decided to be much more intentional with those.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the key to this is starting small and then building from there, and just the consistency, you'll really start to see the results. I was curious about my numbers. So when Will and I were driving here on the way today, I actually looked at how many people I talk to, how many are in my database, just to see if this aligns. So like Will mentioned, 10% is the goal that you want your database to turn at. So I have currently 362 clients in, or people, prospects, whatever you want to call them, leads in my database. So According to this, I should sell 36 houses a year if I'm following our touch point plan. And currently year to date, I'm at 54. So it's working. I think for me, it's converting at a little bit higher level now because I've been doing it consistently for several years, but I definitely wasn't turning it at more than 10% when I first started it. So I think that's key here too, is if you're not doing something strategically and you take away anything today and implement it, is just stay with it and be consistent with it and start small and then start adding on more and more touch points as your business grows and you're able to invest more money back into doing this.
Yep. So if we say 70 for us, is 71.
Mm-hmm. That's how many ours is right now, is 71?
Yep, 71 okay. This year. So touch points throughout the year. Are you just calling them 71 times and saying, who do you know buying or selling real estate?
No. So we have a pretty structured process to this. So I call each person in my database 4 times a year. So that's 4 of our touches. And we have a little template that I'm going off of right now that we're sharing with you guys that you'll be able to drop a comment or download and get it after this episode launches. So if you just want like a mock template of what we do or something to go off of to build this, we'll have a copy of that. But we do 4 phone calls at minimum per person in the database per year. Mm-hmm. And that is segmented out in a strategic way where you're calling your 2 letters of the alphabet 1 week, and you're doing that every single week for 13 weeks. So you'll hit all 26 letters of the alphabet of the last name by doing that, calling 2 letters of the last, am I saying that right? Last names of the letters in the alphabet every week for 13 weeks. Yep. And then you'll do that consistently throughout the year. So you should touch every single person 4 times a year by following that method. And we have, again, a little like cheat sheet of how we do that if you want to like tag your clients a certain way and follow that.
Yeah. So the important part there with the 4 phone calls or outreaches or just like that's the actual one-to-one conversations. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2 letters per week. Mm-hmm. And the reason that you break it up 2 letters per week is so that you don't have to do every single one in 1 week, right?
Yeah.
Because that's when it becomes really overwhelming. And that's where most agents stop doing almost everything because there's too many action points in order to get that done.
And just to put it in perspective, for me, with having 360 people in my database, that converts me calling about 5 to 6 people per day, or 25 to 30 people per week is what I am consistently doing in order to hit the goals that I'm wanting to hit for myself, which is 52 units a year right now.
Yep. And so the first couple years are the hardest because you're like, why am I calling? What am I talking about? Mm-hmm. But what you realize over 4, 5, 6 years of doing this consistently is that your people want to hear from you. 100%. They want to talk to you. You're not being salesy, but the first couple years is a little bit uncomfortable because you're setting the stage for this is what I'm going to be doing moving forward.
Yes, exactly. And you have to get strategic about what you're calling about. Like Will said, you're not going to just call and, hey, do you want to buy or sell a house this year? So, I mean, we guide our agents and have script books and stuff on things that they can talk about. But do you want to talk a little bit about what quarter 1, 2, 3, and 4 calls look like for us so that you're not having a cringy sales call, if you will?
Yep. And so we give intentions for each quarter of what the call should be about. So that what that means is no matter when you call, they're still human. So how are you? How are things going? Check in with them. Be human and talk to them. Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest piece of the entire thing. And you do that every single time that you call them. But quarter one, the intention is to say, hey, here's what to expect from me this year. Whether you're going to be doing events, maybe you're doing some Popeyes, maybe you're doing some email marketing and market updates, whatever it is that you're planning to do, just say, hey, here's what you can expect from me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to probably be giving you a call 3 to 4 times throughout the year just to touch base and see how things are going. Mm-hmm. Is it okay if I give you a call just to touch base with you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, of course. We'd love to hear from you.
Yep.
And then quarter two is you're going to be your one time you're asking for business. Hey, spring is spring market's here. People are really, you know, starting to jump into the market. I'm already having a lot of people tell me they have friends and family buying or selling houses. Who do you know that I could help out? So something along those lines.
Yep. And you're always kind of following that Ford method, if you will, in sales of family occupation, like asking what's going on in your life before you're jumping into some of this. So it's not as uncomfortable and cringy as people make it out to be.
Yep, yep. So the intentions are the hard part. The ask for business in quarter two, you want to make it seem like everybody's already given you referrals.
Mm-hmm.
So this is normal and not put some being the odd man out, but it helps them feel more comfortable referring. Quarter three is about growing your database. So who do you know that I should know? And that's going to tell you what your database thinks of you and who you should be connecting with. And then quarter four, The call is just there to say, how did the year go? What kind of big plans do you have coming up next year? And then if they have anything big planned, write it down. Put it in a calendar and remember that for next year, because what happens around big events?
Usually a move,
right? So if they have a big event coming up, make sure that you're aware of that and you're in the know.
Yeah. Quarter four, I feel like the easiest and my favorite time to be talking to people, because it's not only the holidays, but yeah, just asking what they have upcoming. They either have a big vacation, somebody's having a baby, a wedding, like all of these things are trigger points typically for, like Will just said, a move. So I'll be very intentional about having that conversation and marking it on my calendar about 3 to 4 weeks before that event's happening or something that makes sense for that situation, and then calling and following and checking up specifically on that thing that they told me about 8 months ago.
Yeah, and it might not be something related to a house move, right?
Mm-hmm, correct.
They might be going to Disneyland using Lance as their travel agent, and they might be going to Disneyland, remember that, and say, hey, hope you guys have a great trip, and they're gonna be like, oh, they remembered. Mm-hmm. Like, those are such important pieces of the puzzle.
Yep. So that would be four of our
the most
70 plus
four.
Touch points, but the most important four. Yes, if you're going to listen to anything on this, just do the four things. I think it's easy for people to get excited about all the fun, like pop buys and events and all those things, but those cost money. Mm-hmm. So when you're new or you don't have the money to do that, these are going to be your most critical things because they're cost effective and they cost you nothing.
Yes.
But your time. I mean, that's really it. So that would be the very first one. The second thing would be home anniversaries and birthday cards. Mm-hmm. That's a very, very inexpensive touch point that you can be doing. Obviously, home anniversaries are going to be for your clients that have purchased with you. Mm-hmm. So have a process in place whenever you close a transaction to tag them in your CRM a certain way with the date that they closed, or if you do it on a simple spreadsheet, whatever your process is, have a process and document that so that you can follow up and send them that home anniversary card the next year. And then same thing for birthdays. That one simple touch point, I think snail mail is like got lost for so many years and people stopped doing it. But I think people really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. We were actually at our summer bash event this weekend, and a client of Chapin's, he hadn't found her yet. So he's kind of wandering around, and I was talking to him. And I was like, how do you know Chapin? Da, da, da. And we just kind of got talking. And he's like, she is the best realtor ever. And I was like, oh, like, why do you think that? And, you know, most people think they're going to say, like, oh, she negotiated some deal and, like, get into their skill sets. It had nothing to do with that. He was like, because she sends me a birthday card every single year on my birthday. And he was older. And he's like, I don't even get that from my own family. My mom passed away. You know, he went in this, you know, sentimental situation. And he's like, I will always use her because she thinks about me every year on my birthday.
That's awesome.
So it's something as simple as sending a dollar birthday card to somebody once a year to stay top of mind that is very intentional. And because nobody sends that anymore these days, it's like the little things.
Yep. And those little things that you can do help create huge fans, mm-hmm. right? And then they're the people that are, you know, singing your praises to their friends and family and all
that
kind of stuff.
He hadn't seen her in 4 years, he said. He's like, I came to this event just to see her because she always thinks of me on my birthday. And I was like, that's so cool, though.
Yep. Well, great transition there. You have events, giveaways, things mm-hmm. like that, too. Those are probably your later add-ons.
But. Yep. So later add-ons. So I would start with the four calls, birthdays, home anniversary cards as you get going. And then as you have a little bit more money, you can get into some of the bigger ticket items. And I'd recommend starting with partnering with maybe another agent, or if you're a solo agent, to split some of those costs with you, because they can get a little bit costly depending on what you're doing. Mm-hmm. But for our team, what we do is we do 3 events per year, 3 giveaways per year, and then 4 pop buys. Mm-hmm. So we're doing something almost monthly that is a special touch point, if you will, of delivering something, seeing somebody face to face. So we have touch points that are more like passive touch points, and then we have our more intentional face to face touch points and those type of things. And so we're trying to do something once a month, which is a lot and probably not realistic for somebody starting off. But we have a team and operational staff and people to help us with all of this now, so we have a much higher touch point. But starting with 1 event a year would be good. And it can be something very, very inexpensive. It doesn't have to be a huge summer bash like we're doing that costs lots and lots of money. It can be like a pie event for Thanksgiving that people do, where you have some pies to give out to people, or something really inexpensive.
Yeah, you're better off doing one really, really well than mm-hmm. doing 3 that are not memorable.
Yes, exactly. Like, and we started with only doing 1 a year mm-hmm. and then added from there. And then the same thing with the pop buys. I mean, In our plan that you'll be able to download, we have, I think there's over 50 ideas of pop buys for you, but you can easily just go on ChatGPT. Yeah. You know, there's all different type of networks you can get ideas from, but we do that as well several times a year where we deliver the pop buys, and then we do some sort of giveaway, and we always make sure that there is a form or an action point attached to that giveaway that asks a question to the person that's entering about a trigger point of when they're moving next. Mm-hmm. Are you planning to move in the next year? Are you planning to move in the next 5 years? Who do you know that's planning to move in the next year or 5 years? So we keep the form very, very short with the giveaways, but it's, again, very intentional. If you're going to spend money and time on doing these things to stay top of mind for clients and trying to attract more leads into your database, be very intentional about having some type of a trigger point or timeline or something to talk to them about if they don't win that giveaway, so yep. that when you do call them, you can talk through that. Our last giveaway, we had, I don't know how many, I think it was over 100 entries, mm-hmm. but I think it was like 50 to 60 leads or something that came from that raised a hand, you know, in their inquiry that they were in their questionnaire that they were going to move within the next 1 to 5 years. Yep. So now you have a reason to call all these people mm-hmm. who did your giveaway that they, sorry, you didn't win, but let's talk about how you responded to the questionnaire. And then you kind of get into the timeline with those people.
Yeah. With these events, giveaways mm-hmm. and pop buys, some of your most fruitful calls are the sorry, I missed you calls.
Yeah.
Like maybe they're not there when you drop by, or maybe mm-hmm. they didn't come to the event, but hey, sorry you missed you. This is what's coming up next. Mm-hmm. And then those, not that they want to, that people want, feel bad, but like they feel a little bit left out. Like, oh my gosh, I'm sorry we missed this. We had this and this. Mm-hmm. And they want you to know that they love you, right? Like, yep. so, hey, we actually do know this person, or we're going to make sure we make it to the next event, or I love your emails. You start getting really good compliments sometimes yeah. on those, hey, sorry we missed you calls.
And I don't worry too much if they can or can't make it or not. I mean, we obviously try and pick events that appeal to the masses, but there's just going to be some events that aren't suitable for every person and everybody's likes and wants and needs in your database. But remind yourself that that is not the point.
Yeah.
I mean, the point is to stay top of mind. So I'm still inviting the people that I think maybe this event isn't necessarily for them or that they'll attend, but it's the thought that counts that they still got an invite to it and now they've heard my voice. And again, I'm top of mind because they heard from me.
Yeah.
So you can turn those events into 3 touch points for your people who come: your invite, seeing them face to face, and then thanking them for coming.
Yeah. I think, like, if you're going to do an event, do something you really like to do. Mm-hmm. Have fun with it. Don't, like, real estate can be so fun. You don't have to do what everybody else does. Mm-hmm. Morgan in our brokerage, she loves pickleball. She did a pickleball event in the past, potentially mm-hmm. going to do another one. But I think she enjoys that, right? Mm-hmm. So that makes the entire event more enjoyable for her to put on.
Yep.
Events are stressful as they are. Mm-hmm. Like putting them together and getting people there, but why not have fun with it, right? Mm-hmm. Miles is a huge golfer. Like, so putting together some sort of golf outing and doing something like that for his buddies and friends that are going to continue mm-hmm. to, like we said before, sing his praises, mm-hmm. do something that you enjoy so you have a passion behind it.
Yeah, and you have fun while you're there. It doesn't feel like work on the weekend when you're doing it then.
That's right.
We're just talking about you.
We were just talking about Morgan. Hi, Morgan.
Hi, Morgan. You're on the podcast.
One thing we didn't touch here was email marketing.
Yes. Okay. Yes. I kind of got into the face-to-face stuff.
This is one of your favorite ones.
Well, it is one of my favorite ones because it's so easy to do. Okay. So we're kind of going back to more of the inexpensive stuff that we have on this touchpoint plan, which is a really easy thing to implement if you're not quite ready for events and pop buys and all of that. Email marketing. We use a system called Flowdesk. I love it. It's super affordable. It's very, very easy to use, and it makes really pretty curated emails. So we use Flowdesk, and then we also use our CRM Lofty for this. And I'd recommend with probably starting out just bi-weekly at first. Yeah. I do them weekly now. It's became my favorite thing to do. And it's not a just real estate newsletter. I'm not just sending an email with a bunch of real estate stats every other week. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's probably the reverse. It's probably 20% real estate and 80% more personal. What's happening in my life, update on the kids, what local events in the community, things like that. Yep. It's much more value add and less real estate in their face. And my intent behind that is to be authentic, stay connected with them, stay top of mind with them, but not just shove real estate down their face because they already know I'm a realtor.
That's right.
They know that about me. So it's how can I add value to their lives in a way that's not just, you know, buy and sell houses.
Yep.
So it's become my favorite thing to do, and it's super easy. It takes me probably only 15 minutes a week now. It used to take me about an hour a week to do that, but that time has gone down a lot since just doing it consistently, and I've been doing that for about 4 years now.
Crazy.
Weekly.
Yeah, and so people will reply at times.
Yeah, oh yeah, I'll get leads and replies. Yeah. I'll have clients that, usually my older people, they like to respond on there and, hey, I'm looking to sell my house now all of a sudden. And so, yeah, I mean, I get business from that. It's working your database. Every single person on that email marketing plan is put on there when they close the house with me. So any new lead I put into my system that I haven't done business with yet, or a client that I have closed on a house with them, it's just part of my process. Add them to my email marketing segment, and so they are just added to that drip every single week.
Yeah, I feel like for our team, that's been super helpful. Now that we have created like more of a process or a system for them, they're not creating those emails anymore.
Yep.
They're able to personalize them. Mm-hmm. I think it's been, we've been much more effective with getting those out now, so.
Yep, I think the key to email marketing, you just said it, is making it personable. There's templates out there in Canva. There's all the courses you can buy and have them. But again, if it's not personable, it's not curated to you, it's not authentic, I don't think you're going to have a high open rate. I think people are like oversaturated with all of this templated stuff in real estate these days. So make it about you and make it personable. I upload like my family pictures, and we just started kindergarten this week. Like, it's like almost me writing a letter to them personally in an email every single week.
Yep. Yeah, I feel like it goes a long way. So, and people will come up to you, whether it's email, it's like kind of like social media, like, hey, talking to you about the kids going to kindergarten, doing those things. You're for a second, you're probably like, how do you know that? Oh, the email, right? Yep. That's how you know this.
I know sometimes I'll be like, oh, I haven't talked to this person in a year, and they know so much about me. I'm like, oh yeah, you read my email every week.
So to kind of give a high level of what we think would be a good starter plan, this is probably like, I would say like a level two. If you are going to start, the calls are number one, 4 calls a year, 26 emails, and maybe one event. I think that'd be a good first year. If you do that really well, I think that you can build off that, because you'll find processes. You'll fail in some areas, but you'll get better.
Yep.
But where I think agents go wrong is that they try to do like everything the first year.
That's what I tried to do.
Yep.
And then I felt like a failure because I didn't execute on probably 2/3 of the things, because I thought I'm going to do all of this stuff. And then you realize, oh, it takes a lot of work, and you need to like hire people to help you with it if you're going to do that much at first.
And if you're going to do it right.
And you're going to do it right, yes. Yep.
So 4 calls a year, 26 emails, one event. Mm-hmm. And if you can throw another thing in there, great. But if you did that, you'd
probably your birthday cards.
Birthday cards, home anniversaries.
Yep.
If you do that, you're already going to be ahead of everyone, right? Where we think you should be working towards, 4 phone calls per year, 26 emails, so that's biweekly emails, 1 home anniversary card, 1 birthday card per year, 3 giveaways, 3 events, 4 Popeyes. So if you're working towards that, that might take 2, 3, 4 years to get your systems in a place where you can do that. But I feel like that's where you're really like firing on all cylinders then.
Yeah. And I think this is people who want to be in real estate for the long haul. I say this all the time. You just mentioned it's going to take 2, 3, 4 years. So if you're looking for an easy, quick win that's going to solve all your problems with database, unfortunately, we're here to tell you there's just not.
Yeah.
Building a really, really, really strong database that just like always refers you business and is top of mind takes time. It takes consistency. It takes nurturing relationships. It takes authenticity. And you can't build that with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in a month.
Yep.
So I think that is one thing to just know about if you're really going to go all in on database. I think you're going to have a very, very, very successful real estate career.
Yeah.
And you also need to be ready to do that consistently for at least a couple of years before you're going to be able to see the fruits of that labor. But then it's really, really amazing. I mean, you're barely having to try to lead generate. People are reaching out to you. So if that's your goal to get there in 3 to 5 years, then do these things consistently and you will start having the leads just come to you.
Yeah, I think it's extremely sustainable. What I've noticed in our numbers is your first year, you'll turn your database at 3 to 5%. So if you have 100 people, just 100 people, you'll 3 to 5 deals are in there somewhere. So the goal is to always be growing your database while you're converting it at a higher level.
Yep.
Year two, you should be between anywhere between 5 and 7%. And that year three is really where you should start getting to 8 to 10%. And if you're doing that, you're doing things right and you have something to build off of. And then it just becomes about how can I continually get better and how can I grow this sphere of people that I'm communicating with?
Yeah. And I mean, really the only way to speed up the amount of leads coming in from doing this is to exponentially increase your database count or volume of people really, really high. and then do it consistently. But like I said, I've been doing this for 10 years. I probably should have a larger database. I only have 362 people in it, but I'm like very deep with those 362 people.
Yeah. It's fruitful for mm-hmm. you.
Yeah.
I think database is really one of the only two ways I think that the real estate industry is going to have real estate agents stay relevant, mm-hmm. Is to stay in touch with their people. I think the reason, you know, all these bigger companies and there's so much money coming into our industry is because we don't follow up with our people. Database really is just long-term follow-up. It's mm-hmm. 1 to 20 year follow-up is what it is. And mm-hmm. people don't love that because it's a long game and it takes time and it takes nurturing relationships. And it's not quick wins, which is why a lot of agents mm-hmm. get into real estate. So I think like either geographic farming and database are the two easiest ways to combat Zillow, Realtor.com, Homes.com, because mm-hmm. they're just grabbing your people right before they buy, mm-hmm. right? But you have the opportunity to nurture relationships that are so advantageous for your business that they'll just continue to reap way more than one deal.
Yeah, your client shouldn't be clicking the link on Zillow to request a showing if you're working your database correctly.
Yes, that's exactly right.
And if they do, they panic and they call you.
Yep. Yeah, that happened to you, I think. Yeah.
It did, last week.
So I think that's something that, I feel like that's a 2 to 3 year plan of how to really, if you haven't done database before, how to maybe change what you're doing currently. Mm-hmm. Create a systematic process, write it all down, check it off once you're getting done, and then at the end of the year, reflect what worked, what didn't work, what did I do wrong, mm-hmm. what did I just skip?
Yep.
And then go from there. But if you're going to do all the work of email marketing and cards and all this stuff, don't miss the four calls. It's mm-hmm. super important. I think our next, as a group, I think our next progression of database is VIPs. Mm-hmm. So starting to really hone in, like our events are in a good place. Our Popeyes and giveaways are in a good place. Now, like every agent, who's our top 20, 25 people that you can see once a quarter in mm-hmm. person and get a group of people together that are kind of rallying for you and being mm-hmm. your biggest fans.
Yeah, because you usually have those. I mean, I have my 360 people, but then I have probably my top 30 or 40 people that refer me like 90% of my business.
Okay.
And those are the people that you want to really go deep with that continue to refer to you.
You want to reward them, but also bring them together. Because mm-hmm. one thing that, I mean, we've built, like I said before with events, we've built all the stuff we do with our database around what we like. We love competing. We love games. And so like we do that stuff because we think that if we're having fun, our people are going to have fun too. But people inherently love to compete. Mm-hmm. So when you get a group of people together saying, hey, like, you guys are my best people, and you get create some sort of competition, like whoever wins gets this, mm-hmm. And the way you score is referrals, and that's why we get to do this fun stuff like a happy hours at once a quarter or mm-hmm. whatever it is you might be doing with your people. People will inherently love to compete and try to win, right? And
100%.
It's such a fun way to like engage your VIPs, your top people.
Yeah, we did a Toast Olympics this year at our Summer Bash, which was something new we tried with a bunch of competition games, and we weren't sure how it was going to pan out, but we had, I think was it 170 people come? What was the number? 170 people come, which was our biggest turnout that we've ever had, and I think we ran out of scorecards for the games because we didn't think that many people were going to actually want to play, like the basketball challenges and the bags and all of that, but it ended up being a big hit. So yeah. I guess we'll continue that.
Yeah, we're going to continue doing that. So and that's just like human nature, right? We like mm-hmm. to compete and have fun. So mm-hmm. Anything we're missing here with database?
No, I don't think so. We're going to, when the episode drops here in a few days, we'll share the template that we have for our 2025 marketing plan that we did. So you could definitely copy this over and repurpose this for 2026 if you're looking to put together your plan for next year. We always recommend that you start doing this sometime in September, October. Get ahead of it early. Your guys' schedules are going to get crazy with the holidays. And go into your 2026 year feeling good with a plan and have it outlined. You don't have to have all the details of every single thing and the graphics and marketing, but just have a plan of what do you want to do so that you can start figuring out a way to execute on that early.
Yep, and we'll give you the plan, and then it's on you to execute.
Yep.
And that's the hard part, and that's the part that people fail on, but mm-hmm. just put a plan together, know that some points are going to be harder, you might fail in some areas, but mm-hmm. like to see it through for 1 year and see what happens.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, we'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
All right.